All right. We want to make sure everybody understands no one from the City of Bryan Council got in a fight in the bathroom yesterday. Bill Oliver kind of just tied those two things together. That was in Birmingham where that happened. And yet, while there maybe were some verbal fisticuffs, nobody came to blows from the City of Bryan. We just want to make sure everybody understands that. But y'all did kind of have a I don't know, I want to say contentious. Is that an overstatement when it came to talking about who was going to be put on some boards and commissions?
There's always, it's pretty much the normal process, it seems, sometimes. But the way we do committee assignments, it's been done like this as long as I can recall by multiple mayors over the years. But, there are literally hundreds of committee assignments that council members could sit on. I think they're averaging, probably around 50 plus. So you've got about 6 to 8 committee assignments that each council member has. I've got 4. I think the mayor pro tem has got 3 or 4. I think council member Sons has 7 or 8, and council member Southern have 7 or 8. They have the most. I think the others have maybe 6. We actually shed a few of our committee assignments this year, Mayor Pro Tem Owens and myself, to allow more opportunities to serve on more committees, and so we can focus on being mayor and being mayor pro tem. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of meetings that we have to attend that aren't committee meetings, just on behalf of the city. So we actually gave up quite a few assignments this year, so the count went up this year than ever before. So the council members this year have more committee assignments than what they've had on average in the past. We typically try to look at if there's an interest or an expertise. I'll use Buppy, for instance. Buppy Simek, he definitely knows more about the health department and the food industry than I would, being in the real estate industry. So he's on the health department board. We've had Councilmember Richard Cortez in the past that was in the industry, and he had the expertise there. My background is economic development, business development. That is my forte. That's what I've done for a living all my life, and I serve on RVP and Economic Development Foundation and those type of committees.
Is there anything that prevents a member of the city council from going to another committee to watch the proceedings?
I don't think there's anything that prevents anyone attending a public meeting to see what's going on. Most of these positions are not even advisory. They just go and discuss. I mean, for instance, BISD, City of Bryan Committee, we bring ideas to the table. But we try to get together monthly with our compadres at the BISD and talk about some of the stuff going on and on their end and our end and how we can work together to help each other. Sometimes things come out of it, but it's not recommendations or we vote on anything or decide the fate of the city at that point. It's just a networking opportunity to get things done. Committees like the Research Valley Partnership and the Brazos Valley Council of Governments and MPO, they make decisions that affect the cities, and those are a little different. So there's various levels of boards, but some of them are just relationships and creating relationships and working together.
You know, the area downtown Kimball Feed, the announcement that you made as far as what's going to be going on down there, I'd like to get your thoughts on that and basically what the status is of that entire project there and then down to the Ice House.
Well, the Ice House is currently under contract for renovations. We've got a developer that's looking at it. They've asked for I think they've got the first to second quarter of next year to get everything worked out, and the property has changed hands. Like I said, they're in the process of renovating it and getting some bids and ideas of what all they're going to do there. It needs a lot of work. It's in pretty bad shape structurally and foundation-wise, so they're working on that. The Kimball Feeds project, we're very excited about it, the Jordan Center, as we refer to it. $25, $30 million-plus project. We're putting in some tax rebates, some rebates on some incentives. I think there's a sculpture involved in it also. Parking garage. They're going to bring in a parking garage to downtown Bryan. So that'll mainly be used for their customers and for their tenants. in the upscale apartment end of it, but they're not taken away from the valuable parking that are on the streets currently in downtown Bryan. So this is the north end. This is Main Street, MLK, going on the north end of Bryan, where there's a lot of vacant land, a lot of vacant buildings. Some of those buildings have been vacant for a long time, but we've got a lot of new revitalization going on the north end. New brewery that just came into town. If you hadn't seen it, they're doing a great job. It's very nice. And
Let me do this. I mean, full disclosure, I'm on the board of Downtown Bryan Association, so I care about this. And so to answer me or anybody else who's interested, let's talk about the retail-type plans, the things as far as the lofts are concerned, beyond the Kimball feed. What else can we see as far as your vision for Downtown Bryan and what we've got coming as far as retail and that sort of thing?
Well, all of the projects that we're looking at right now and working with involve a residential component, a retail component, and then your 8-to-5 office type components that are going to be locating in downtown Bryan. So, but there is a need for lofts, for apartments in downtown. All the ones that are available right now are all leased. I mean, I get calls all the time, people trying to find loft apartments and, you know, availability in downtown Bryan. We've got people that work 24-7, companies that are 24-7 in downtown, and they'd like to keep their employees in walking distance to their offices. So we're going to see some of those components, more restaurants, more retail shopping, you know, all three of those components, I think, is what you're going to see, a good mix on all the different developments that you're going to have in downtown. But, you know, we're looking at probably 3 to 4 different blocks that will be redeveloped over the next few years.
Former Council Member Ann Horton and College Station Mayor Nancy Berry, now on the Blinn Advisory Board. Your thoughts on what that means, and also do we have a master plan for Blinn now that we can comment on?
Well, I'm excited about former Mayor Pro Tem Ann Horton and Mayor Berry serving on the Blinn College. Was that Maroon 5?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it may have been. Yeah.
Stumped me there. But yeah. Excited about Nancy and Ann serving on the Blinn Board. Excited to see them take their oath of office. And they've got a challenge ahead of them. I'm sure there's some folks that aren't excited to see them sitting on the board with them. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. Both of them have an extensive knowledge and background in all things Blinn College. Both have served on the advisory board in the past. And they'll get the job done. They'll represent our area well, and the Blinn students and the faculty well. So a lot of things going on. We've got the new Westside campus.
Are there any surprises on the timeline for Blinn that you've heard? That I mean, is everything going according to the schedule that you understood for development over there?
Yeah, they're working. I'm not sure they're going to put up all the buildings that they were talking about putting up initially. Enrollment, I think, is down, or at least similar to what it's been in years past. They haven't had an increase in enrollment. I think you're going to see that probably in the spring numbers and maybe even the fall numbers of 2016. They're going to start out with some of the smaller buildings at the west side location and then work their way up from there. But, you know, I think there comes a point, Scott, where Blinn's either got to grow exponentially quickly to justify all those new buildings, or they got to kind of cap it and keep it at the maximum capacity at the current location, which I think is kind of where they're at right now, and hope to have enough influx to justify building, you know, $50 million worth of improvements. So they're stuck in between those two phases right now. But I think with all the folks that are, I think we talked to the A&M president last week, I think they had 40,000 applicants, freshman applicants, and wanting to enroll at Texas A&M University. Maybe 9,000 are accepted. Mm-hmm. There's, 30,000 kids that could attend Blinn College if they wanted to try to get into the STAR program or into Texas A&M University in the future years. So the growth potential is there. We'll do all we can to work with them. They've had a meeting here recently with some of the adjoining landowners to talk about what they could expect to see there and develop in that area. Right now, you know, we're going to focus on infrastructure. We're going to focus on transportation and any traffic congestion that we may see there. But I don't think we're going to have any problems anytime soon. We're not going to see 25,000 kids on that campus in the next 2 or 3 years. You're going to see maybe 2,000-3,000 kids on that campus. But it will help with alleviate some of the issues that we're having at the current location and some of the traffic and the congestion and the parking that they're experiencing there. They will move some of that over there. That I think will help. But Mayor Pro Tem Ann Horton, Mayor Barry are going to do a great job for us. I think they've got 2 years to serve. Then yeah. Their term is up for good.
Right.
Unless the legislators or the Blinn Board agree to continue that. But they'll get an inside working of what goes on in Blinn and will be a good catalyst and bridge to work between the communities of Brenham and Bryan-College Station for the benefit of Blinn College. So I think you'll see a perspective from both sides of the street and not just one side. And, you know, we're quite different. We've got 14,000 students here at the Bryan location and maybe 3,000 students at the Brenham location. Mm-hmm. So, you know, different perspectives. They got a lot of buildings up in Brenham. They got a few here in Bryan. But most of the kids in Brenham wear Blinn College shirts. Most of the kids here in Bryan at the Blinn campus wear A&M shirts. Yeah. So totally different perspectives, different ways of doing things. But they'll bring their ideas to the table and hopefully we'll have a better Blinn because of their participation and working together with our cohorts in Brenham.
Sure. Brian Mayer, Jason Bieske joined me. A couple more things that council's talked about and where we stand with them. Cemetery fees, first of all, let's talk about that, the Bryan Cemetery. And I know you've heard from those folks. And where are we going to be as far as cemetery fees in the near future?
Well, Bryan? We're raising our fees. I don't have the specific fees in front of me of how much they're going up a little bit. Will it cover all the expenses needed at the new cemetery? No, I don't think so. I mean, we need to go up even higher to try to break even on that. I'm not sure that the taxpayers should subsidize lot sales mm-hmm. in the cemetery, particularly if you don't elect to utilize the facilities, but it is part of the park system. We have land across from the Bryan Cemetery that we're expanding into. It's going to be a major undertaking. We're going to redo Old Curtain Road there and straighten it out a little bit. You know, we're running out of spaces at the current location, so this will give us many, many years of continued life, no pun intended. continued life in the Bryan Cemetery business in the city of Bryan. But, you know, the fees have gone up a little bit, but again, they need to probably go up more, in my opinion. It should be at least a break-even deal and not necessarily subsidized by all the taxpayers that may not ever utilize the cemetery, but it's part of what's available as a citizen of Bryan to our citizens if they elect to use it.
You know, raising quality of life comes in a lot of different ways, but one of them that more and more cities are looking at are quiet zones. And again, Bryan would be no different. That can be a true enhancement.
Well, part of our BCS Modern Living group that's doing the Jordan Center in downtown Bryan that we just talked about, the mm-hmm. $30 million development, Kimball Feed Company, one of the things that they negotiated and asked us to consider is putting together a quiet zone committee. I think there's five individuals we appointed to that committee last night. And they're going to look at quiet zones, look at some options, work with Union Pacific and try to come up with some solutions to make it better. You know, you could talk to 10 people and 5 people a day that love the trains. It's great. It's part of our heritage. It's part of our community. It's part of how we were set up initially formed as a community, as a city. And then the other 5 will tell you, I can't sleep at the hotel. I can't live in downtown. It's too loud. It's hard to do business. My grandmother grew up on railroad tracks over there behind the municipal golf course, mm-hmm. and it rattled her house when the train came by. She was used to it. When I spent the night there, it scared the heck out of me. Yeah. So you got to get used to it. But, you know, some love it, some don't. I think it's very expensive to set up quiet zones. I mean, basically what Union Pacific would like you to do is shut down intersections. Right. So the more intersections you shut down, the less we'll blow, of course, mm-hmm. because, well, that makes a lot of sense, but that's a very it's an inconvenience for our citizens and motorists in that area. You know, there's other measures you can put into place, you know, different arms, other warning measures that have an expense that we can look at paying for. And maybe there's just certain stretches that we can look at and focus on. I mean, there are a lot of intersections
there are.
In downtown Bryan over the tracks. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like one or two or three different spots that we have to address and it's inexpensively done. I think you could be talking $5-10 million potentially, but there is monies available, other grants. You can negotiate with the Union Pacific Corporation to see what they can do to help and assist, and we're putting together a group of 5 experts to look into that and see what they can come up with, and maybe they can come up with some options and measures that we can put into place that can maybe at least calm some of the blowing and alleviate some of it to a point that's pleasing to those that aren't happy with it.
Well, but as you look at Brian, 20 years from now, and you move down to Congress and down those streets down in that area, those houses will be rehabbed. That'll be an enhanced area, and the train going through there is going to make a difference. I think that can be a quality of life situation.
It is, but when I first got on the council, Scott, I think we were talking about $1 million. That was a lot of money.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I think the numbers keep going up, and like I said, with all the accidents and issues throughout the country, I think the safety measures keep going up also. Mm-hmm. And so they have to blow, they need to blow, and make sure that folks aren't crossing while they're trying to cross, and the trains. And so it's an issue. But that is part of our community. That is part of our heritage. If you love the city of Bryan, you have to accept that's what we're all about. Colossation is called Colossation for that same reason.
Yep.
So, we embrace it, and I like it. It doesn't bother me. I've never had an issue with it, but there are some folks that are bothered by it. And mm-hmm. So if we can make it better, we'll definitely look into that.
Okay. What else you got for us today?
Well, I get to mention one more Christmas event. We mm-hmm. still have Breakfast with Santa this Saturday, the 19th, from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at Neil Rex Center. Pictures and breakfast and movies and crafts with Santa Claus. So come out and visit with us at Neil Rex Center, bryantx.gov. I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I know Congressman Flores mentioned, I've been mentioning all week, but I'm very proud of our sister cities, Cameron, Franklin, and Bremont. I have a lot of kin folks and relatives associated with those teams, and my cousin's the mayor of Cameron, and have kin folks in office in Roberts County in that area, and Mayor Hedrick at Franklin, and Mayor mm-hmm. Swick and Bremont are close friends, so I wish them well, and I think Cameron's got a dynasty going on right now, but we're excited to see Franklin in the mix. Bremont's been there, I think, a couple years in a row, but it's not easily obtained, and so we should appreciate those that can get to that point, and tomorrow, Thursday, right. I think from like afternoon and evening, they'll have the games, I think, televised at NRG Stadium. So we wish them well and success. And again, wish everyone a safe and happy Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. And look forward to, we've got some great things taking place in the city of Bryan, and you'll see a lot of wonderful things in 2016.
All right. Thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you, Scott.
Yep.